That's Amen, that is.
Amen. Well, let's pray.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the things that you are doing. And we thank you, Lord, even as David strengthened himself in you. We come now to strengthen ourselves in you by sitting at your feet and asking that you strengthen us according to your word. Lord, your word brings strength, it brings life, it brings vitality, it brings refreshing and renewness. And we pray right now for Pastor John as he brings forth your word, Lord, that you would strengthen us, Lord, for the battles ahead. We give you praise for those that we've come through, but Lord, we look forward to those that you're going to take us through, knowing that you will strengthen us and you'll be with us every step of the way. Lord, may we come alive in that river right now. Let your spirit move sovereignly upon each one, heart and mind here today. We ask in Jesus' name. And floor, everyone said, what? Amen.
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 Amen. Cool thing about that is that's all happening at a public school. And then Al's here today, right? And friend of Molly. Friend, or did you say a brother? Pardon? Brother. Brother, another girl on the team, right? Or... Oh, okay, all right. All right, because I know she was involved with the ball before, yeah. Cool. Well, 2 weeks ago, I spoke to you about making the right choices. And we talked about all kinds of different things, and just to remind you of that week, one of the things I mentioned was the movie The Patriot, and how the one man that they showed in the movie made that decision to turn around and to begin to rally the troops, and because of his decision, his choice to rally the troops, all the men began to come back around, and they, instead of being destroyed by the bigger English army, the supposedly superior English army, the Continental Army, the Americans rallied, and they just went forward with power and strength. And they defeated General Cornwallis there. And that was something, a victory that actually helped to turn the tide against the war. It was a movie, and it wasn't factual exactly, but it was history. That actually is something along the lines that happened. We also looked at Joshua and how when he neared the end of his life in Joshua 23, he said some things that were very important. He said, it says, Joshua by then, a very old man, summoned all of Israel, the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officials, and he said to them, I'm very old. This Bob's going to, you know, he was thinking about saying the same thing when next time he speaks, right? And I'm very old now, and you yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done in all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. We're all going to go that way someday. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises the Lord your God gave you failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. That's verse 14, by the way. And then it goes down a little further and it says in Joshua chapter 24, I'm just picking out a few key phrases here because I don't have time for everything. In down around verse 14, it says, Joshua says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. And then he says, choose for yourself. Here's that choice thing again. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And then he says, one of the most famous lines that we see, as I said, above everybody's doors, a lot of people's doors, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. They made a good choice. That's a good choice. So Joshua lived his life as a warrior for God, leading God's people, battle the nation of Israel into battle over and over and over, always leading him in the right way, leading them to make good, godly, right decisions, taking them into the promised land, just as God commanded them, he set that land aside for them. It was theirs to take. But they needed someone to help them make that right decision. The week before that, we saw that every one of us, whether we want to or not, we've all been called into the battle. That, we have this fight that we have to get into. It's the battle of the ages, really. I mean, you could call it that. And it's not a battle that's against flesh and blood. It's not against people on the earth. We're not, the battle is not against CNN or the liberal kind of theology, or it's not against the abortionists, although we are in a battle against them. But that's not the battle I'm talking about. The battle that we're fighting against, it tells us, is not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual war, fought against the spiritual forces of evil. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." This is the war of good against evil. And it's a war, a battle that's been raging since the beginning of time. You remember, it started with the angels. They rebelled against God. And then it's carried right down here onto earth, and it's still going on to this day. So we either choose to enter this battle and fight, or if we don't, and that's the right choice, if we don't, we just give up. We give in. And what happens then is we're taken, like that movie, Taken. We're taken then, kidnapped basically by sin. We become slaves to sin. So the truth is, if we're one of God's people, there really is no other choice that makes sense other than to, you know, to live for God, to fight for God, to enter the battle and fight for what is good and true, to fight for our families, to fight for our friends, to fight for our church, to fight for our nation, to fight for the kingdom of God in all aspects of all those things that are right, that are good, that we see all around us. There's always choices to make. Always. We saw that we are not alone in this fight. God has promised that He will be there for us. Deuteronomy 20 verse 4 says, "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." See, God's there to give us victory. He fights with us. He fights for us to give us victory. And we looked at an example. We saw young David. Remember we talked about David standing up against Goliath, this 9 foot, 9 inch monster, that this giant. He was a man that had all the soldiers of Israel scared to death. They were terrified. Even King Saul was afraid of him. But David goes to Saul. It says in the word there that he said, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go fight him." Young David, little boy David, stands up against the giant. And then comes one of my favorite part where it says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Man, what courage, what strength. And here comes this lumbering giant, swearing, yelling, cutting down, cursing David in this insurmountable, it's just like this insurmountable sin that's coming against us. And this guy was a disgrace to God, to the armies of God. And this young boy, David, he puts his faith in God and he runs out to meet this giant and he does him in. He takes him down. 1 Timothy 6:12 calls it fighting the good fight of faith. Well, there's a common characteristic in David that we just saw, Joshua that we talked about there, the soldiers and the patriot, and many other mighty men and women of God throughout history, throughout the Bible and throughout history and even in this day and age. And that characteristic that I'm talking about is something called boldness. Boldness. God is calling us to be a bold people. I looked it up, of course, and to find out the actual Greek meanings behind it. Courageous, confident, fearless, strong. Those are the words for boldness. Be bold and be strong. The definition taken from a Greek dictionary says, boldness is an attitude of strong confidence in God. I love this. such that godly things are said and done openly without fear of the consequences. Hear that again. Boldness is an attitude of strong confidence. We got this strong confidence in God, such that the godly things that are said and done are done openly without fear of consequence. Boldness will help us to press on, to fight the good fight, to finish the race in victory. God wants us to be so bold that we will not be afraid to make the most of every opportunity that He sets before us so that we can advance His kingdom. Matthew 11:12 tells us that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. There's so much power in the gospel. When you think about it, the power that's in the gospel of God, that when we spread the gospel, when we speak the gospel, when we speak it out, that it actually rescues people. It's like it raids. It goes into the enemy camp on a raid and it rescues or takes men and women from those prisons of sin. It's forcefully advancing and grabbing people out of the clutches of sin. To break someone from prison, to break out someone from prison, requires a lot of force. And so it says forceful people, forceful men and women will be the ones that are advancing the kingdom of God. Boldness is having the confidence to approach God for what we need. And the confidence to approach other people for what they need, even though they don't know it. And that's the truth, or the gospel. You may have heard a quote by Edmund Burke that says that the only thing necessary for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing. And that's true. Because they're good men, but they have no boldness. They sit back and they say, that's too bad that's happening. That's a shame. Our world's going to pot. Our country's going to pot. Nobody's doing anything. Especially me. Because I'm afraid to step out. I don't want to say anything. I don't want anyone to look at me. But the opposite is also true. If we want good to flourish, good men and women then need to do the right thing, and that is to step out with boldness and to do something. Boldness doesn't mean that you don't have any fear. It means that we don't give in to that fear. It means that we master our fears. We take over them. Paul says in Philippians 3:12, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. God rescued us. He took hold of us, and now He has work for us to do. He has things for us to do, and if we're all scared and we sit back and we don't do anything, what have we accomplished? Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, there are jobs waiting for us to be done. There's work orders all over the place waiting for us to be done. There are things that are setting up. God is ordering and orchestrating things all around us at certain times and certain days. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And then we have that choice to make. Will I enter into the battle? Will I enter into the fray? Or will I say, I don't know. I don't know if I want to say anything. Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do that. Oh, I'm afraid. I'm timid. I'm shy. That's just not my thing. I don't know. We can come up with a million excuses. But we have to press on beyond our fears, beyond our doubts, and have this confidence that we can follow after what God wants to do, knowing that He's doing a good thing in us. And as we follow Him and we do those things and we're walking according to His purpose, He's going to work out all those things, not only to the good in that situation, but even to our good. We're going to be blessed. We're going to grow. We're going to prosper then. Philippians 1:6 tells us that we can be confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So God's doing this work in us, and part of the way that He works through us is putting us in those situations. He opens up the door. Door number three opens up. Whoa, there's our gift. Well, the gift is a situation that we don't want to do. Oh my gosh, I got to go talk to that person. I got to go do that work. I got to go do that thing. And then we just have to say, you know what? Okay, I'm going to do it because God has called me to do it. God's working in us. He's working through us, and He's working for us. That's why we can afford to be bold and confident, because God has got our back. I remember the first time I went rappelling. You know what that is? That's where you hold onto a rope and you go over the side of a cliff or a building or something like that. And one time I went out with a guy and we were going over these cliffs. And the first time I stepped over that cliff, that was scary. You know, you don't know. I never did it before. But this guy that I was with had done it many times. And, you know, I saw him go down and he's down there. Come on, come on. So I did. I went over it. And by the time I was 5 feet down, I was having the time of my life. I must have done it 30 or 40 times that day. Then when I got in the fire department, we ended up doing it too. From, you know, 3 or 4 story buildings, we were rappelling over the side of buildings. And I wasn't even worried about then because I had already done it many times. And everybody else, it was like a new thing. So, you know, like I said, I had to trust that guy because he had done it. And now in the same way, we have to trust Jesus, who has gone on ahead of us and suffered for the good things, who laid down His life. He lowered Himself and became a servant. And He took on these unbearable tasks sometime, but He got through them all, and then He went up in His glory. And now He sits at the right hand of Father, resurrected, new body, for eternity. That's ours. That's ours. We just have to follow in His footsteps. He's done it. And He's showing us the way. And He says, I'll go with you. He won't just go down to the bottom and say, come on. He goes with us. Another example of boldness is found in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John had gone to the temple, and they were you know, going there to pray, and they were on their way, and they came across this crippled beggar, you know. And he started asking him for money. So Peter says, look at us. And I just thinking of that, even that statement, you see somebody and you say, hey, look at us. Right away the boldness is coming out. And he goes, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. The man was healed. Peter put out his hand, grabbed his hand. The man jumped up, started walking around. Next thing you know, he's jumping all around, praising God, and everyone was amazed. Now, here's a story about what happens. Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 11. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said, I got an idea. I think this is a good time to speak about God. He goes, why do you stare at us as if in our own power or godliness we had made this man whole or made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus. You, well, that's pretty bold too, you handed Him over to be killed, and you disowned Him before Pilate, even though Pilate had decided to let Him go. You disowned the Holy Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released instead. You killed the author of life, but God has raised Him from the dead, and we are witnesses to this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you know, who you see, was made strong. It's in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Him that He completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, this is he's getting pretty bold here, isn't he? This is the same guy who said, no, I don't know him. Remember, Peter at the fire, Peter walking around. No, I don't know him. I wasn't with him, no. And now, he's not afraid to say anything. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that you may send the Messiah, that he may send the Messiah who's been appointed for you, Jesus. And then in Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 1, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. Uh-oh. Here comes the authorities. What's all this commotion over here? What are you speaking about? What are you doing? They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people. They were worried that they were going to lose their position, their power, their authority. And they were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized Peter and John. Because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. So was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power and by what name did you do this? Who was your authority? What's your authority? Where's your papers? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what changed. That's what made him like this. Said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and being asked how he was healed, then know this. You and the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that these were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note of the fact that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. How could they contradict that? How could they go against that? So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do about this guy? How are we going to get around this? How are we going to do this and still look good? They asked, everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they performed a notable sign, and we can't deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further, we need to come up with some fake news. We need to stop this thing from spreading further among the people. We must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in and again and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Boy, doesn't that sound just like today? It's happening all over again. History repeats itself. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? There's that boldness again. You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. So after further threats, empty threats, they weren't worried about it, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years. He'd been around for 40 years crippled, and now he's jumping up and down. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Now, they were praying for a while, and I didn't put all that in there. Got one last little part here. It's at the end of their prayer, they say, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." There it is. They're praying for boldness, the very thing we've been talking about. "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Like those early believers, we need to be people who are praying to God for boldness. I heard this story yesterday at our men's breakfast. Dan Abraham shared a story about, he was walking by the weight room. He's the coach there in his school. And he's walking by the weight room and hears some young boy in there go, "Jesus Christ!" He looks around. Dan's not here today, so I'll be Dan. And he goes, "Yeah, what's going on in there?" And he goes, "Are you guys having a prayer meeting?" And he takes the kid aside and he says, "Okay, we're going to have a prayer meeting." And he says, "I want you to open up in prayer." And all the kids, boys and girls in there, held hands and began to pray. And he said, this kid prayed a prayer he couldn't believe. And girls were next to him going, "Hallelujah, amen." And this is in a public school. Another public school. God's everywhere. We need to remember the Lord, the words of the Lord that he said to Joshua in Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Be not afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Once we get hold of God's will for us, then we need to be bold enough to carry it out, you know, and not take our eyes off the goal. Remember the story about Peter in the book of Matthew chapter 14, where he's alone with some of the other disciples, and it's the middle of the night. They're out in a boat on this lake. They're out in the middle of the lake, and all of a sudden they see Jesus walking towards them on the water. Now, they were all terrified. They thought this was a ghost. But Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. It is I." And then Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water." So Jesus says, "Come on, Peter. Come on out right now. Come on." So I think the coolest thing in the world is that Peter got out of the boat and actually started walking on the water. Peter was out there walking on the water. He had this confidence. He had this courage. He had this boldness to step out of this boat in the middle of the lake, the wind blowing, the waves around. He steps out on the water and starts to walk towards Jesus. Too bad the story didn't end there. Because then it says, "But when he saw the wind, he got afraid. He became afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried out, 'Lord, save me!' And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, 'You have little faith. Why did you doubt? You had it all together, man. You started out great. You were walking, man. You were doing it. We could have done this together.' But what happened is he started looking around and seeing the problems. How many times have we been in that place where we knew that God had called us to do something? We believed in it, that God had called us to do something. And we step out in faith and all of a sudden we start looking around and we see the waves of discouragement, the winds of fear, the doubts, the naysayers, all those kind of people, and all of a sudden we start to sink. Same situation, right? When God calls us to step out in faith, there's always going to be challenges. There always will be problems. Otherwise, we're not stepping out in faith. Faith is where we don't see those things, you know, that we don't know. We're just doing it because we believe God's called to do us. So we're trusting Him, and then all these things come, and that's where our faith is tested and proved. Otherwise, it wouldn't be faith. So this is the only way we can learn to put our trust in God, is when things aren't working the way we hoped they would. And then we have to call out, God, help me. We learn to go to God. We learn to look for Him. We learn to remember and pull out His Word. We learn to stand on those words. There's nothing to trust if everything's easy. So don't expect your life to ever be easy. Nobody's life is easy. That's what it's life. I mean, you could just say the definition of life is hard. I mean, there's wonderful things, there's good things, there's all kinds of, you know, great, nice things that happen all mixed in there, but sooner or later, we all know something's coming. Sooner or later, something happens. And we deal with it, and then we go on. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is we all have the same things going on, but as a Christian, we have a helper. We have confidence. We have boldness. We have somebody that's there for us. We have somebody who helps us walk through those problems. We have somebody that gives us the direction to walk through it the right way, to come out victorious on the other side. We grow through it. We grow from glory to glory. We grow higher and higher as we reach towards the goal of our high calling. In the world, we just get beat up. We may struggle through it, but we get beat up more and more and more and more, and we end up life bitter, old, and mad at the world, mad at God, mad at everyone. As a Christian, we grow closer and closer to God. We grow in love. We grow in joy. We grow in confidence. We grow in strength. There is a difference. Even though we face the same things, the outcome is totally different. Totally different. That's why we need to be praying for boldness, confidence, and courage so that we can go out into that water. Just like that song we sang today, Oceans. The more we open up our eyes and our heart and our minds to God, the more we will see those doors opening of opportunity. The more things we will see where we can step in. Because it's not just about us. We have a job. We have to touch other people's lives. God gives us an opportunity to speak into someone else's life and help them rise up. Rescue them from that moment of depression. Rescue them from that time of hurt. We help them to make the right choice. Just like what happened to Peter and John when they were with those Jewish leaders, and it says they were commanded not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. When Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to Him? You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. The only one we need to please is God. That's what he's saying. He says, I'm not here to please you. That's what Peter and John were saying. Hey, our life isn't about pleasing you. Our life's about pleasing Him. And we can't do that if we're timid and cowering in a corner and shy. We have to be willing to step out, to touch other people's lives, to make contacts. The more contacts we make with people, the more we get involved in other people's lives. Just talking to them. People start talking. I can't believe how much people will open up their lives when you just take a few minutes to talk to them. And before you know it, you have an opening to tell them about God. Hebrews 3:13-6 says, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mortals do to me? God just wants us to trust in Him and not be afraid of the naysayers. We spend too much time worrying about what other people think, about what we read in the newspapers, about what we hear on the news. I don't even want to hear that stuff. I don't listen to the news on TV. It's a bunch of trash. It's worthless. It's all negative. It's all anti-God. It's anti-what's good. They're promoting their viewpoint from a liberal viewpoint, an anti-God, anti-Christian worldview, and they're shoving it down people's throats 24 hours a day. That's our television news media. Believe me, they are anti-God for the most part. I mean, occasionally you get somebody who's okay. I'm not saying everybody, but that is the mindset of the world. the world that we live in. Remember, Satan's called the god of this world, small g, because the world system is corrupt. The world is not evil. The world, God made it. The world is good, but the world system, and the devil's the god of that world, because that world goes after what he wants. Our only concern should be, what does God want? So sometimes we almost have to live in an alternate reality. We still have to, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. Right? Isn't that what the Word says? He's telling us we're living on a different plane. We're living in a spiritual realm in a physical body. So we are actually living in an alternate reality. So when everything can be going wrong around us, we can actually still be filled with joy. We can have a peace that passes understanding. We can be victorious. We can be prospering while everything around us is falling apart. Because our God reigns. Because our God is powerful and our God is on our side. He fights for us. And all he's saying is, stand with me. Fight with me. I'll be there for you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. And I could have the prayer team come forward. I want you to think, what is it in your life? What is it in your life that God has been calling you to do? Something you've been putting off, maybe. And God's saying, it's time to get a little bit bolder. It's time to say, all right, Lord, I know I've been thinking about this for years. I've been talking about this for years. It's time for me to step up to the plate and start swinging. Win that district championship. Win the regionals. Go all the way. Be bold. Invite God in. Invite Him to help you take it on. Hebrews 4:16 says, then let us approach the throne of God's grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When we need help, God is there. And He says, come boldly to me. You're doing my will, I will help you. You're doing my will, I'll give you what you need. You're doing my will, come and see me. I'll give you what you need. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much. We thank you for today. We thank you for all that you've given us, Lord. And we pray for a spirit of boldness to be poured out on us, your people, that we would never be timid or shy or afraid or discouraged or holding back, but we would talk like Peter and John and say, who do we listen to? Who are we doing this for? We're doing it for you, God. Not for people, we're doing it for you. Lord, we thank you for the confidence, for the courage, for the boldness that you put into your people. Lord, fill us. Fill us up. Fill us up to overflowing. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.